All right, so today's Heart Talk is on perfection versus excellence. Perfection versus excellence. And I love what Audrey said, that she's a recovering perfectionist. How many other people in here are recovering or maybe current perfectionists? Right? I think so many of us are stuck in this role of identity that says, I'm not enough, that it's not perfect yet. And this is why I wanted to bring up this topic, because perfectionist or perfectionism is a limitation. It's actually stopping you from growing to the capacity that you could be, because you're putting a ceiling and you're putting an end point, a finish line that says, once I get here, then I'll be enough. The funny thing is, it's an illusion. It's like a rainbow you're chasing. Every time you get a little further, a little closer, it seems to get a little further from you, doesn't it? Because perfectionism is a comparison. It's always something that as we're striving for, we're still comparing against the person or the thing or the situation that did it better or did it differently. Which means that we always end up having a goal-oriented mind that's a little bit further than the step that we're on. We don't allow ourselves to be present. It's a joke, isn't it? I mean, look, they're laughing at it. When we look at the idea between perfectionism and excellence, and by the way, this idea came to me from one of the other instructors here, Paul Teodo. Have you guys taken any of his classes? Amazing classes, yoga classes. We were chatting and he made the comment about the difference, that he wants to strive for excellence, not perfection. And I loved it. And I was like, that's my next Heart Talk. And excellence being just that same word, strive for, that you're moving to become better, but not because you're not enough now. That you're already as amazing and beautiful and radiant and brilliant as you could be, and you can become more. But it's not because there's any lack. And I think that's the core difference between perfectionism and excellence. In perfectionism, we're thinking there's something missing, that some part of us isn't enough. How many of you have had that little voice in your mind that says that? You know, you start that self-discovery journey and this little voice is like, I'm not enough. I'm there with you. I've had it too. And I'm going to say something really counterintuitive right now, especially in these conscious communities. It's true. You're not enough. But not because if you were 100% authentic, that's the math, you're 100%, you're enough. But the problem is you're not being 100% authentic. We're fragmented. We're in all these little pieces in our lives, roles and masks that we're wearing, defense mechanisms, thoughts, limitations, traumas, all these histories and all these things that we're carrying. And in every single piece, especially in our history, the situations that impacted us, influenced us, we dropped a little piece of ourselves like an anchor there. And then maybe we even projected some pieces out into the future that said, then I can be happy, then I can be fulfilled, then I'll be enough. And so then you feel into the present moment, you feel into who you are today, and when you look, you're like, whoa, that's not enough, because you're scattered. I kind of like to think that excellence is the pursuit of coalescing, integrating back all the pieces. That you were already enough in the first place, that you were already brilliant and excellent and amazing, but because you scattered yourself in all these different places, you couldn't tell. So often we have moments in our lives where maybe it's a low moment. Things aren't going exactly to plan. Maybe you messed up. Maybe you made a mistake or a bad choice. Or you just didn't keep to a promise to yourself or a commitment. And you think to yourself, oh, why am I so dumb? How could I do that? Why am I not achieving this goal that I have? All these different judgments that we make. And in those moments, what's happening is you're doing this. Focusing in on one moment, one element, one circumstance, and forgetting all the times that you were amazing. All the times that life, in its ups and downs, that you survived. And maybe even thrived. And this is that taking of the scattering and bringing it together, just in awareness. All you have to do is realize that in every single moment, only a piece of you is expressing. And so you don't have to worry about whether it feels like it's enough right then, because just start bringing the other pieces together into this wholeness of self. And I think that's where you find excellence, is in the wholeness of your entire being. It's the essence of that presence being 100% you, not comparing, not competing, and not judging. Judgment is another way of saying comparison. But simply saying, where I'm at right now, today, in this moment, is where I'm at. If I take any part of that and I think, oh, something else should be this way or that way, I've just split myself up. I've fragmented myself again. But to become aware and accepting of the wholeness of who you are today, the good, the bad, the everything, that immediately allows you to start to see yourself wholly, fully. And then that enoughness starts to go away and you stop judging yourself for not being perfect, which is such an arbitrary term. And instead, you start walking with an excellence that in every moment, every step, every action, there's an intentionality to it. I'm going to say that again. What would happen if everything that you did, every action, every step that you took was with intention? How many of you, especially here in Bali, have come and you're looking for your purpose, right? I know, right? I hear this question so often. People are like, how do I find my purpose? And I find it so interesting because it's like we have this idea, and it's similar to this perfectionism, that our purpose is something that we're meant to achieve, of some great, great achievement, some big goal that's going to change humanity, and that's the only moment that we can finally feel fulfilled and happy and like we did it, that our purpose for coming to this earth has been fulfilled when we do this big thing. And then just for a kicker, you get down to earth and you forget what it is. That sucks. And so when people ask me, like, how do I find my purpose? I say, stop thinking that it's something to have. We think we have to have a purpose. What if you were just being on purpose? And we start to see the difference between perfection and excellence. Perfection is to say, I did it. I did that big thing that I was supposed to. I perfected it. I did it perfectly, executed it well. Or, in every single moment, I gave my absolute excellence in that moment, my full person, my full intention, and in that there was purpose. I was looking at some articles earlier this morning as I was looking for a graphic for today's Heart Talk. I always post it up on my Instagram. And I looked at some Olympic images of gymnasts. And it was really interesting because as I looked at that, it dawned on me the fact that in gymnastics, especially at the Olympics, there's this contrast between perfection and excellence. To have even reached the gymnastics in the Olympics, you have to be pretty excellent, right? In your craft, in your skill, in your performance, there's an excellence already there. And yet, you're being judged in every single movement, in every single action, in everything that you do, and then given a number. And I've never seen anybody get a perfect 10. It's always like a 9.7, 9.88, 9.92. Nobody ever gets perfect. And I think that's the same in life. But we keep chasing it. What if instead you just gave it your all? There was a gymnast, and this was the article I was looking at. Her last name was Krugs. I can't remember her first name. She was an American Olympian. She helped the American team come to the gold medal for the first time in gymnastics. And she did it with a sprained ankle. And I remember that. I don't know how old I was. This was like back in maybe 2009 or something. This 18-year-old girl, she's in the Olympics. She's going. She does like whatever these somersaults and all these things. And then she lands. And as she landed, something happened. She felt a click in her ankle. It had broken. She got back up. It's the Olympics. She's worked really hard to get there. She's tried to perfect her skill, perfect her set, whatever she was doing. She gets back up and they give them, I think, 2 or 3 tries to get a better score. And she knows that everything is on her in order to get the gold for the team. Like, she was the last one to do her routine. She went back, and again, with this broken ankle, she went, she did it, she did all these somersaults, she does this big thing, lands, definitely not one of the most perfect landings I've ever seen, right? It was a little bit off, but she landed and immediately brought her leg up because it really hurt. And she scored as high as possible and they got the gold. Now, here was what I loved about that. She was not perfect in that moment. Technically, she was broken. And I think a lot of times we think we're broken. But that's only if our spirit, our intention, the purpose with which we're making the action, if that's been broken. We can be incapacitated. We can be imperfect. We can even be imbalanced. And we can still strive for excellence because we give it our all. We commit. Actually, that's maybe the biggest word in excellence. To be committed. I can easily say, and I think Christina would agree, that the relationship I have with her is excellent. Yeah? It's not perfect though. Right? Yeah, see. Definitely not perfect, but it's excellent because we're committed. And it's one of the things, some of you talked about relationships and broken hearts and trying to overcome this. Here's the thing in relationships, and we talk to clients about this all the time. We do a lot of relationship coaching. The one thing that you need is a commitment to growth, the willingness to grow in a relationship. If you have that, then it doesn't matter if you're perfect today, because most likely you won't be. It's funny that we're all looking for the perfect partner, as if you go to the supermarket and you're like, there they are, in the top shelf, I didn't see them before, right? You're not going to just find the ideal person. And if you do, they've already shaped themselves into their own ideal, and maybe you were doing the same, and now you come and there's nowhere to connect. But the beauty of cultivation through commitment is that you find the excellent connection, the excellent alignment, the excellent matching of something because you form it together. And it's an ongoing thing. Excellence doesn't have an end point. It's the process. You get to be excellent in the process. Perfection is this finish line that we're all shooting for. Which is also interesting to me. Why are we all trying to get to the end? You're going to spend the majority of your life, actually all of your life, in the process, in the path, on the journey. When you get to the end, it's done. Don't be in a rush. But so often that's what we're doing. We're focused on the perfect ending, the perfect finish, the perfect goal, the summit of the mountain, instead of realizing that it's the hike, it's the journey, it's the travel upon the way or along the way. That's the life. Let's talk a little bit more about this enoughness. I think one of the reasons that we fragment ourselves is as a self-defense mechanism. We're putting pieces of ourselves into the bricks of the walls of the protections and shields that we have. It might be that as a baby, you were sitting in your nursery and your parent or caretaker, they left the room for just a second and something inside you was like, oh, I'm all alone. Oh my God, I'm going to die. I can't survive. And then they walk back in. You're like, oh. But while they were gone, you took a brick and you started to build a shield to try to protect yourself so you could survive. And when they came back, you didn't let it go. You kept it there. And then throughout your life, you kept putting another one and another one. And all of a sudden, you were building these walls that were like 14 feet tall. And then electric fences and barbed wire and drawbridges and dragons and moats and all sorts of things. And it sounds like an exaggeration, but think about it. You've met those people. You try to get close. You're like, hey, how are you? Why do you want to know? Woo, dragons. Right? We create so much defense mechanism, and most of it is because at some point we felt disconnected from life, from vitality, from possibility, from the excellence of everything. And in that disconnection, all of a sudden that piece that went into the protective measure came out of our awareness of self, and we started thinking, oh, wait, something's missing now. Now I'm not enough. I have to strive to be enough. I need to be perfect. When really all that happened was that you have these walls that maybe aren't necessary anymore. Some of them might be. The walls get put up when, in that moment, there is a threat, either physically, emotionally, or mentally. But most of the time, those threats, they dissipate. They go away almost immediately. They're like waves in your life. But we keep the walls up. with the projection of this fear that maybe I might need it again later. But as long as it's there, you're robbing yourself of your own excellence and judging yourself for not being enough. So how do we start to come back to that integration of things? I like to say that healing, I bet a lot of you are probably here in a healing journey. Right? That's the thing with Bali and Ubud. I have a healing center, so I'm all for it. We're on these healing journeys, and yet we haven't really defined what healing is. We think it's about fixing the broken pieces. I'm here to tell you right now, nothing is broken in you. Absolutely nothing. Except the story. The story you're telling yourself, based on a fragment that could come all back together. I keep talking about these fragments, and that would seem like that's a broken piece of something, right? But here's the truth. It's kind of like you took maybe a lens. And that lens, as you start to project the brilliance, the excellence of your own light, your own being, your own presence, and your impact on the world through it. But then you start drawing lines on the lens. And those lines give the illusion that things are fragmented, give the illusion that something's broken, give the illusion of imperfection. And so what we have to learn is how to erase the lines that are no longer serving us. Start to realize that beneath it always is a whole being, a beautiful, excellent person. For me, I have three steps that I always go through. It's a methodology. It's called APE, or APE, acceptance, permission, expression. I always like to share this in my heart talks. Acceptance, permission, expression. The first step is always acceptance. Now, here's the thing with acceptance, because even when I say it, I can tell some of your faces are like, oh, that acceptance thing again. I can't do it. Why do they keep talking about it? That's because most people say acceptance and they confuse it with the word tolerance. When they apply acceptance in the world, they're like, no, you just have to endure this thing you don't like and hope that it's going to change. No, that is not acceptance. That's tolerance. The way I would like to define acceptance today is to recognize the reality of this moment. That's it. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's real. It's the reality. And until you accept that it is the reality, you don't know where you're stepping from. So many people are in this illusion of what they want the reality to be, or even making the reality worse than it might be, that they don't have a clarity of, oh, wait, I can do something about this. So the first step, acceptance, it's being present to what's real, objectively, without identity, without attachment. And then from there, you can start to invite change. You can intentionally take actions in a direction of what you desire in life, what you want. Now, I say that as if it's a simple thing, to move in the direction of what you want. And I'm going to ask you guys a question right now. Just ask inside your own minds, do you know what you want? When I ask that right now, what do you want? Do you know? Is there immediately a thought like, yes, this? Because I can kind of guess that for many of us, we haven't clarified that. We know what we're trying to avoid. We know what we don't want. I ask my clients this all the time. I say, what do you want? And they're like, well, I just don't want to suffer anymore, and I don't want this heartbreak, and I don't want to be unhealthy, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. I go, whoa, whoa, that's what you don't want. What do you want? Oh, let me get back to you on that. Most people believe that they don't know, and actually, I said that a moment ago, that maybe you don't know. That's not true. You do know, but what I think happens is that we forget we have permission to have it. We have permission to have what we want, which is also, I think, in forgetting that, why so many of you get frustrated when you're like, I know what I want, but why can't I have it? Because you're not letting yourself. You're the one that gets to give the permission. It's not from some outside authority, some measure of perfection. It's not that that says you're now worthy. It's you. You're the one that decides. Somebody asked me once, how do I know when I'm worthy? And I said, when you decide so. I mean, logically, we know that there's no outside force that can stamp you as worthy or not. So why is it that internally we continue to fight as if we're not already? This idea of sometimes we have to do what we need, not what we want. Let's define what those are, right? Because I think a lot of times we even confuse what those are. Needs versus wants. needs normally is about your survival, your actual survival, which means it only has to do with, are you getting nutrition to your body, your physicality, as well as that of emotional through your community? Are you outside of an immediate danger? Is there, you know, saber-toothed tigers not coming at you? Semi-truck's not about to hit you? And so you don't need to do anything in those moments. If you're feeling safe, and that's a big question, most people are not really feeling safe in their bodies, in their minds, and in their hearts. When you're feeling safe, the needs have already been met. And the fact that you're all sitting here, I say this in almost all my heart talks, the fact that you're sitting here in a talk in Bali, Indonesia, listening to me talk about the heart, tells me that you're probably safe in your life. You just haven't realized it. Now, as long as you haven't realized it, you're going to still keep prioritizing the idea of needs before what you want in life. But if you could realize that right now, all the things that you need, and I mean right now, this moment, not tomorrow, not in a week when, you know, your rent is due or this or that. No, that's later. We don't know what's going to happen between now and then. But right now, you're safe. You have no needs in this second. Which means you can shift from that prioritization of needs to, well, what do I want? Now, it doesn't mean that in that instant that you say, well, I want amazing love in my life, that boom, it just appears. But what happens is you give yourself permission to start moving towards it. And until you give yourself that permission, you're going to keep putting needs before the wants. And so it's getting really clear as to when is it truly a need, when is it truly a want. And sometimes our wants we think we need also, right? We do that as well. But I need to have this work out. Why? Are you going to die? No, but... Nah, then it's just a want. But when you make it a need, you suddenly went into the need energy, survival. And survival is limited. When we're in the energy of needing and surviving, we're in this tiny little part of the brain. It's this old reptilian part of it called the amygdala. And that part of the brain only knows how to do a few things. Fight, freeze, flight, and also fawn, which is people-pleasing, right? It only knows how to try to control the situation in the limited moment to make sure you get out of it alive. And if you're constantly putting the things that you actually want into the category of I need, then you're limiting the possibilities of getting there, which means you're not giving yourself permission to truly explore those potentials. So I think in the pursuit of excellence in your life, not perfection, which is also a survival mechanism, because you're trying to prove worthy so that you're given the resources and the support and the safety that you're looking for, but rather in the excellence of your life, can you drop in and realize that you're safe? That in this moment, everything is okay. And when you do that, this starts to expand. And you start to move out of this limited space of just trying to survive, and you start to look into, ooh, what could I do now that I'm here? What could I learn and grow into and expand into? What possibilities are there that I never looked at because I was too afraid, I was too busy surviving? There are definitely moments, and I talk about this whenever I talk about these kind of the why, what, and how of life. You know, I always say that the why is realizing, are you living in that moment to survive or to thrive? And sometimes it is to survive. You absolutely need that. I used to be in the military, special ops, and I was in a war zone. In those moments, I wasn't thinking about, you know, I think in a few years I'll be giving heart talks in the yoga barn of Bali. I was very focused on not getting hit with a bullet, right? And so there are moments, or if we're just ill, that we have to think about, okay, how can I become more healthy? But notice what I just said. It wasn't, how can I not die? Then it's a need, if you truly are on your deathbed. And I'll say something, this I'm going to stretch out on a little bit of a limb here. I did a lot of work with cancer patients several years back in Australia. And what I found as I was working with all of them, outside of the fact that almost all of it was based in some emotional trauma that was going on, and that's what triggered a lot, what I found was that the ones who survived, the ones who went into remission and became healthier, it was because they had something in life they were striving for. A child, a purpose, an intention. They wanted to live for something. They had intention, meaning, right? A desire. The ones who were just trying not to die, who were just trying to survive and were avoiding death, most of them weren't so lucky. And this is why I make it so clear that we have to understand, when is it really a need? If you're sick, even if it seems like you're really, really sick, to realize that in that moment, that instance, you're not dying. But instead, you can bring your focus to, what do I want? I want to be healthier, right? That's moving towards what you want. Saying, I don't want to die, now you're in survival. And we can do this in almost every single moment of our lives, up until that moment when we are on our deathbed. There's a really funny story from a Buddhist Vipassana meditator, a great master in mindfulness meditation. And, you know, in Vipassana style meditation, if any of you have done it, you're watching the sensations of your body with equanimity. You're not reacting, just with curiosity. And this great master, he's watching, he's like, oh, this is a new sensation. Not felt this sensation. What is this sensation? What is it? And he was dead. It was death coming upon him, but he was just like, oh, what is this? What is this? How wonderful, new sensation. Boom. He would have missed those last moments of wonder had he been like, oh, I have to stop this. And how often are we doing that in every single moment of our lives? Oh my God, this isn't exactly the plan. This isn't going the way I want. And we're not living. We're surviving. We're freaking out. We're panicking because we don't see it perfectly to the plan that we thought was supposed to be. That's the other aspect of perfection, isn't it? We make plans in life. I know Christina knows this. She loves to make these plans. Linear thinker, right? I'm a chaotic thinker. There's different ways in which we think, right? It's wonderful because she gives me structure. I'm Latin. I'm like, woo-hoo, all over the place. But in that linear thinking, she makes plans. She makes task lists. It's really good. She's very efficient with things. But for those of you who are also linear thinkers, here's the funny thing that happens when your plan is going, you're like, yes, step check, done, yes, done, yes, wait, something changed. Throw the whole plan out the window, we gotta start over. And this happens a lot to many of us, because we had this plan and the plan had to be perfect. And if it wasn't perfect, if it didn't go perfectly, if anything changed, you toss the whole thing out. What if instead you simply went, oh, okay, I got this far, something has changed. What would be the next most excellent, most aligned, best possible choice to take? What's the next step from here? Instead of thinking that the whole thing goes out the window. You know, as we're looking at this idea of perfection being the end point, the target, the finality, the place that we're trying to get to, and excellence being the journey, as I was sharing earlier, well, but if you're just living in the journey, if you're only focused on the journey, how will you ever get to the place, the destination? And you may not. That's okay. That's the trick. We get attached to the destination, and I'll tell you why. We get attached to the destination because this is what we say. I'm not fulfilled or feeling whole today, and I won't until I get there. We project our happiness, our joy, our abundance, our freedom, our desires on when I'm there, then I can have it. When I've got enough money, when I get that job, when I find that beautiful partner, when I this, when I that, then I can have this. Then I can feel the way I would like to feel. That means that we're very attached to the destination. I'd like to invite you and all of you to a different way of doing it. It's important to know a destination because she's correct. Otherwise, you're just aimless. You're just kind of wandering and there's no intention, right? But instead, what you get to do is you find that acceptance of knowing where you're at. And then permission, we're looking at that methodology of acceptance, permission, expression. Permission is to allow for change. And you want to direct that change to some extent. You don't want it to just be like, okay, like anything can come. No, no. Give it some direction. And that means you start to understand what you want. Even if you don't think you know how to get there yet, just decide. Maybe it's, I want to feel happy, I want to feel more free, I want to feel more in love. Whatever it is, and then point yourself towards it. That's all you have to do, is point yourself in the direction of it, and then every single step you take, however you take it, and you're going to give it your all because you know you're going in the direction of what you want, becomes a step of excellence, and I may not ever actually get to where I want to be as a destination, but every single step of the journey, I can tell you, I'm going to feel love. I'm going to feel the happiness. I'm going to feel the things that I want to feel because I know I'm on the way. And it's already there. For those of you who have studied any kind of manifestation work, you'll know that manifesting isn't just about getting clarity of where you want to go. It's about feeling it today. Because in that way, you match the vibration. And so that's the key, is actually letting the journey be the destination. Ooh, I like that. Let the journey be the destination. So that every step is the fulfillment of excellence instead of the seeking of perfection. Some of you know, if you've read my bio or you just know me personally, that I spent 2 years in silence, in silent practice. I was here in Bali, Indonesia. It was for many other reasons. It's a whole other story. But during that time, it was very interesting to me. People would come up to me and they would ask me, this was the most popular question, they'd say, but what if you mess up? What if you accidentally say something? Do you have to start all over? Can you imagine? 363 days. No, that would be trying to seek for perfection. What I was doing was cultivating an excellence within myself of whatever wisdom, whatever insights, whatever healing I could do internally. It had nothing to do with trying to make a perfect record. And I think this is actually maybe the best way that we can define a practice, right? So many of you are here in a yogic practice or a meditation practice or a practice of self-love and self-discovery. In that, be gentle with yourself. You don't have to be perfect. It's a practice. And a practice is meant to help you define and cultivate excellence in every moment. And you grow along the way. So yeah, there was definitely moments in that silence that I broke the silence. Somebody offered me chocolates one day. I was like, ooh! And then I just went back to the silence. That's the same thing we can do. See, instead what we do is we're on that plan again, and we're trying to make it a perfect plan, and we make one small mistake, or we have a moment of a day where we're not feeling our best, or something doesn't quite go, or we say the wrong thing, whatever it is, and we think to ourselves, oh, I messed up. I knew it. I couldn't do it. I give up. Instead of going, oh, okay, that was just a moment. Let me let that go and rededicate in excellence to the practice again. And keep going. And keep going. There's really this beauty to the idea of cultivation, and I would say consistency, that drives towards excellence. Consistency means that you are doing something over and over and over and over again forever. So often I see people with the mentality or the mindset, and often unconsciously, thinking, well, I just want to get to the happy place. I just want to get to the goal. I just want to get to the destination, and then I can relax, right? I see this in relationships a lot. It's really quite funny. People are like, well, I found my perfect partner. Now we don't have to do anything. We can just relax and love each other. Oh, it's not going to last too long. In every moment, it's a practice, a cultivation. And that's how you keep excellence. But when you're seeking perfection, then you're looking for, when is it perfect? And then I can quit. Then I'm done. Bit of a lazy approach, if you ask me. People will also ask this, like if they come and maybe they're, especially if they're healing from something, and they do certain practices, and maybe it's even meditation. And they go, okay, like I was too stressed out, I had all this anxiety, I was having panic attacks, and you know, burnt out from my corporate job or whatever, and they come and they're like, I'm going to do a week of meditation. And they do the week, and then they ask their meditation teacher, like, so was that enough? Am I good now? Like, I don't need to do anymore, right? No, this is now a lifestyle. What? Imagine shifting your mindset to that in everything that you choose to do, I make a caveat there, what you choose to do, not the things you feel obligated, manipulated, forced, stressed, you know, coerced into, because that stuff's never going to feel good. But when you choose something, choose it for life. Choose the practice of it for life. Instead of thinking, okay, I choose this because if I can do it long enough, then, listen to the subtlety here, I'll have gotten rid of this feeling. Notice how really it wasn't choosing what you wanted, you were choosing what you were avoiding. You were trying to get away from something and you were hoping you could just do something perfectly to get there, to get away from where you were. Whereas when we strive for excellence, it's a cultivation we get to do every single day to continue to become better and better in the sense of who we are, not by comparison, but better just with life and in life. We have a few minutes left. I can either start to summarize, or are there any other questions? All right. We've been talking today about perfection versus excellence, and we had to start by defining what those mean. That perfection is maybe the destination, the goal, the end point, a finish line that we're racing for. And often, it's funny, we can't even see it because it's around the bend and we're just running a little aimlessly without intention or purpose towards this idea of perfection. And because we don't have it defined, it keeps moving on us. Which is why it's not about reaching there, but it's about recognizing here that you are already excellent in who you are. That you're already whole when you recognize and accept that wholeness. That there's nothing you have to prove worthy of or become more of to feel enough. That maybe your cup is already overflowing, but you've been so busy trying to catch the overflow, which is surplus. That's meant to be shared with the world. That you weren't recognizing that you had everything already. When you realize that, then everything else that you do becomes a pursuit of excellence, a cultivation to continue to create life through you instead of avoid death. You're no longer focused on just surviving, but instead you're thriving. You're moving towards your desires, your wants, the things that you truly, truly want to bring into your life and to share with others. And maybe you have to make a distinction in that to realize that needs versus wants is versus the survival and then the living. And most of the time, if you're feeling safe and you can recognize that, you might have to even ask yourself, am I safe right now? You have to remind yourself sometimes because the mind is strong, gets into patterns. Just remind yourself with a question, am I safe right now? And immediately, because you had the time and luxury to ask the question, the answer will be yes, you are safe. If you weren't in the safety enough to ask the question, trust me, you'd already be responding to the danger. And in knowing that, then all of a sudden you come out of this limited place of life into this greatest potential of excellence, possibility, potential of anything that you might want. And you can start to take steps towards it without an attachment to the destination, but rather simply knowing that you have oriented yourself in the direction and start walking. Perfection will hold you in the same place looking, wondering, well, I can only see a few steps ahead. I want to know the perfect pathway. Just start walking. Because the perfect step is right in front of you. It's presented. Take that step. The next perfect step will be presented once you're there. Take that step. And keep stepping in the direction of what you truly desire and want and will feel fulfilled by in life. And every time that you do that, the most beautiful blessings will come into your life because you are intentionally cultivating them. I'm going to say that again. The most beautiful blessings will come into your life because you are intentionally cultivating them. Somebody said to me last week, they're like, oh, you have such a good life. And I said, I have a cultivated life. It's not just good because I was lucky. Choices that we intentionally make move us in the pursuit of excellence in our life. And so I invite you all as we finish the talk today, don't get stuck in the idea, the illusion of perfection. But instead, feel into the sensation of excellence. What in this moment, what action, what step, what way of being, what expression can you make that would be the most beautiful expression authentically 100% of you? Not by comparison of any other, but of you. And that will be excellence. Thank you, everybody.